Take your Bible and go to the book of Hebrews. The book of Hebrews chapter 4 today. Hebrews chapter 4. And still preaching on the series of messages on getting back to the basics. And that is a fundamental and that a starting place. And we've looked at salvation and what it means to be saved. We've looked at salvation and the eternity of it, and eternal security. And we've looked at it and that about the assurance of our salvation. We've looked at the separation out of this world. When you get saved, it is a basic thing, if I can put it that way, that you would separate yourself out of the world. And it is by the power of the Holy Spirit that gives us the ability to separate out of this world. He changes our desires, but then He helps us in that to see what needs to happen in our life to separate out of this world. Who not to be around and who to be around. What not to be around and what not to be around. And then we even looked at separation last Sunday. I believe it was last Sunday night. We looked at separation from bad brethren and bad doctrine. But today we want to look at getting back to the basics and that of supplication, our prayer life. Let me say this, that you get saved, you're to pray. And you're to learn to pray. Learning to pray is something that is a very rudimentary thing for the Christian. And we try to teach them that in the primary Sunday school class. Try to teach them about praying and how to pray. If you go back and you look in Luke chapter 11, you'll find that the Lord's disciples said it came to pass that as He was praying in a certain place, that when He ceased, one of His disciples said to Him, "Lord, teach us to pray as John also taught his disciples." And so I think, now don't misunderstand what I'm about to say right here, but we need to learn how to pray. We need to learn how to take time to pray. We need to learn to pray in God's will. We need to learn to pray with the help of the Holy Spirit according to Romans 8 over there. And thank God for the help of the Holy Spirit, because when you don't know how to pray, He does. And Romans 8 even tells us that He not only prays for us and intercedes for us, but that He intercedes for us according to God's will. And we ought to be praying according to God's will. Let's stand on our feet this morning and look in Hebrews chapter 4. We'll read three verses and begin to preach what God's given us today. Let me say that if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, if you've never been saved, you can come and get saved today. Amen. There's nobody going to hinder you and that from coming and trusting Christ by believing the death, the burial, and resurrection, and come to this altar. You can pray where you're at and ask Him to save you and come into your heart, and He'll do that today and give you a home in heaven. Thank God for that today. Look in Romans. Look in Hebrews chapter 4 and begin to read in verse 14. "Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." You can be seated this morning. Lord, as we come to You this morning, in Jesus' name, we pray that You'd help us preach now for a little while. We certainly need Your help. Lord, I can't do anything on my own, but with Your help, I know that this will go out and accomplish what it's made to accomplish today. And Lord, as we preach, if there's one here that's lost that don't know You, they'd get saved today. Oh, come to know You in the free pardon of sin, have joy and happiness in our heart today of salvation. Lord, I pray that You just might guide and direct our mouth today and our mind guarded and keep Satan far away and keep him from hindering this service. Lord, let us preach what You'd have us to, no more, no less. And Lord, we'll tell You again that we love You. Help those that need help today and save that sinner's nearest tale, for this in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. As we look at these verses here, and we'll focus mainly on verse 16, but he begins in verse 14 telling us that we have a great high priest. And you know, in the Old Testament, under that of the economy of the law, that when you wanted to get in touch with God or when you wanted to deal with God, you and I'm glad God can hear from the heart, and He does. But they would go in the sacrifice, and that was made by the high priest. And let me say today that Jesus is our great high priest that made the sacrifice, and that for us at Calvary. And boy, thank God for that. And said that He's passed into the heavens. And boy, ain't you glad that's where He's at now? The Bible said that He's there at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for us. So when we pray, we know that He can hear us. But He said then, because of this, He said, let us hold fast our profession, because of Christ being the great high priest, because of His sacrifice, because He's in heaven. Listen, friend, me and you, I can hold fast to the profession that we've made in Christ Jesus the Lord. And then He talks about, for we have not a great high priest or a high priest that cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. I want you to know that when you approach the throne of grace and you begin to pray, and seek God and talk to Him, that friend, there's somebody on the other end that knows where you're at, that knows what you're going through, knows what you've been through, because He's been there. Listen, Jesus Christ the Savior, friend, He has faced everything that me and you are going to face. He's faced everything that you're facing, and that right now the Bible said, and yet without sin He was tempted, He was tried, He went through tribulation, He went through desertion, but yet without sin. And so He said, here's why we can do this. He said, let us therefore, listen, because we do have a great high priest that is in heaven, we can hold fast our profession, and He is listening, and He is interceding, and listen, He knows what it's like to be us. He said, then, He said, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace. When's the last time that you went to the throne of grace and made your supplication and your prayer unto the Lord? And that's what that word supplication simply means, is a earnest or humble prayer in worship. You listening? Or it is a petition or an earnest request. I want you to take your Bible quickly, and I don't even know if I'll get out of the introduction today, and go to the book of 1 Kings chapter 8. I'm going to try my best to be very aware of time, but I want you to get this today, because I'm going to be honest with you. I think this is something that is overlooked. And maybe it's because I overlook it in my life so much that I feel like other people do too. But maybe you don't. But I want you to understand that if we're ever going to have power with God, it's going to be because we learned how to pray. As a matter of fact, if you go back, and I'm getting ahead of myself, but if you go back and look in Luke chapter 19, when Jesus came into the temple over there and began to cast them out that sold therein, the Bible said, and them that bought, saying, it is written, my house is a house of prayer, but you made it a den of thieves. Jesus said, look, and he didn't say that it should be a house of preaching or teaching or singing, but He said, my house is to be a house of prayer. It seems like prayer ought to be very important this morning. Our supplications to the Lord, it ought to be very important to us to understand what it means to pray and know how to pray. 1 Kings chapter 8 and verse 22, you find Solomon in that for his prayer of dedication at the temple. And so in verse 22, the Bible said, and Solomon stood before the altar of the Lord in the presence of all the congregation of Israel and spread forth his hands toward heaven, and he said, so now he's beginning to talk to the Lord right here. Lord God of Israel, there's no God like Thee in heaven above or in earth beneath, who keepest covenant and mercy with Thy servants that walk before Thee with all their heart, who has kept with Thy servant David, my father, that Thou promised him, Thou spakest also with Thy mouth, and hast fulfilled it with Thine hand, as it is this day. Therefore now, Lord God of Israel, keep with Thy servant David, my father, that Thou promised him, saying, there shall not fail Thee a man in my sight to sit on the throne of Israel, so that Thy children take heed to their way, that they may walk before me as Thou hast walked before me. And now, O God of Israel, let thy word, I pray thee, be verified, which thou spakest unto thy servant David, my father. But will God indeed dwell on earth? Behold, the heaven and the heaven of heavens cannot contain thee. How much less this house that I have built in. Boy, Solomon, he talks about the promises God made to David to keep a son on his throne. And then he said, boy, even heaven can't contain you. And here we've built you a house here on this earth for you to dwell in. You know, God sent his glory down there to dwell in that house. When you read on about that story, you'll find out that God, when they got done praying, that God's Spirit come down, the glory come down, and it got in there, and it got so smoky in there that the priest couldn't even minister inside the temple. And Solomon said, we built you a house for you to dwell in. And he said, the heavens can't even contain you. Let me ask you this, how much more special do you think we are to him today, church, that he dwells inside of us? He abides. Amen. Verse 28. Yet have thou respect unto the prayer of thy servant. He said, okay, I'm fixing to pray, Lord. And to his supplication. O Lord my God, to hearken unto the crying to the prayer which thy servant prayeth before thee today. That thine eyes may be open toward this house night and day, even toward the place of which thou hast said, my name shall be there, that thou mayest hearken unto the prayer which thy servant shall make toward this place. And hearken thou to the supplication of thy servant and of thy people Israel when they shall pray toward this place. And hear thou in heaven that thy dwelling place, and when thou hearest, forgive. And if any man trespass against his neighbor, an oath be laid upon him to cause him to swear, and the oath come before thine altar in this house, then hear thou in the heavens and do, and judge thy servants, condemning the wicked to bring his way upon his head, and justifying the righteous to give him according to his righteousness. When thy people Israel be smitten down before the enemy because they have sinned against thee, and shall turn again to thee and confess thy name and pray and make supplication unto thee in this house, then hear thou in heaven and forgive the sin of thy people Israel and bring them again unto the land which thou gavest unto their fathers. When heaven is shut up and there is no rain because they have sinned against thee, if they pray toward this place and confess thy name and turn from their sin, when thou afflictest them, then hear thou in heaven and forgive the sin of thy servants and of thy people Israel, and that thou teach them the good way wherein they should walk, and give rain upon thy land which thou hast given to thy people for an inheritance. And if there be in the land famine, if there be pestilence, blasting, mildew, locust, or if there be a caterpillar, if there be enemy besiege them in the land of their cities, whatsoever plague, whatsoever sickness there be, what prayer and supplication soever be made by any man or by all thy people Israel, which shall know every man the plague of his own heart and spread forth his hand toward his house, then hear thou in heaven thy dwelling place, and forgive and do give to every man according to his ways, whose heart thou knowest. For thou, even thou only, knowest the hearts of all the children of men, that they may fear thee all the days that they live in the land which thou gavest unto our fathers. Moreover, concerning the stranger, a stranger that is not of thy people Israel, that cometh out of a far country for thy name's sake. Can I park right here and say, when I read this verse, verse 41, when I was studying on this, I thought about Ruth. I did. Ruth was one of those strangers that come up out of land. You remember she came out of the land of Moab. You remember what she told Naomi? Naomi tried to get her to go back to her house. And she said, wheresoever thou dwellest, I'll dwell. And said, your God will be my God, and where you die, I'll die. Amen. And you know what she was willing to do? She was willing to come be proselyted in that, into the nation of Israel, that under God. Moreover, concerning stranger, that is not thy people Israel, but cometh out of far country for thy name's sake, for they shall hear thy great name and of thy strong hand and of thy stretched out arm when they shall come and pray toward this house. Hear thou in heaven thy dwelling place, and do according to all that the stranger calleth to thee for, that all people of the earth may know thy name, to fear thee as do thy people Israel, and that they may know that this house which I builded is called by thy name. If thy people go out to battle against their enemy, whithersoever thou shalt send them, and shall pray unto the Lord toward the city which thou hast chosen, and toward the house that I have built for thy name. Then hear thou in heaven their prayer and their supplication, and maintain their cause. If they sin against thee, for there is no man that sinneth not, and thou be angry with them, and deliver them into the enemy, or to the enemy, so that they carry them away captives unto the land of the enemy, far near. Yet if they shall bethink themselves in the land, whithersoever they were carried away captives, and repent, and make supplication of thee in the land of them that carried them captive, saying, we have sinned and have done perversely, we have committed wickedness, and so return unto thee with all their heart, and with all their soul in the land of their enemies, which led them away captive, and pray unto thee toward their land, which thou gavest unto their fathers, and the city which thou hast chosen, and the house which I have built for thy name. Then hear thou in their prayer and their supplication in heaven, thy dwelling place. Maintain their cause, and forgive thy people that have sinned against thee in all their transgression, wherein they have transgressed against thee, and give them compassion before them who carried them captive, that they may have compassion on them. You remember that's what Daniel done every day, wasn't it? You remember what got Daniel in trouble when he was probably in his 90s? You know what he was still doing? He was still pushing his windows open in his place of residence three times a day. And the Bible said that he would push them open toward Jerusalem and he'd begin to pray. You know the difference in all this, right? You know what Solomon said? He said when they done wrong, he said, Lord, and they pray toward this place and toward this house. He said, you here in heaven. When they go out to battle, he said, Lord, they're going to pray toward this place and toward Jerusalem and you here in heaven. He said, look, when they're carried away captive and they pray toward this place, you hear and bring them back. You know the difference between that house and what it is now? We're the house. And so we just pray toward heaven, don't we? And so Solomon, as he made his prayer and his supplication unto the Lord, he said, whatever it is, they need to come and pray to you. And Lord, I'll know that you'll hear and answer prayer. And so as I read this, I thought about that. I thought about he was telling them, whatever happens, if you'll just pray. I don't know what you got out of all these verses, but I got that if you'll just pray, if you're not right with God, he said, if you'll just pray and ask for forgiveness, he'll forgive. If there's a need, if you'll pray, he'll answer. If you're in a battle and need some help in the battle, just pray and he'll answer. And so as I read that, I thought about what he said, that we may come boldly unto the throne of grace. How many times have me and you needed to pray and found ourselves gathered up around an altar somewhere, whether it was here at home or abroad, and boy, we were able to pray and talk to the Lord, and God answered. I don't know where you're at today spiritually. I don't know where you're at in needs for your life, but I can tell you this. If you want to call out and cry out to the Lord, I know he'll hear you today. If you're lost and never been saved, if you'll call out and cry out to the Lord, he'll hear you and save you. If there's a need, he will meet your need today if you'll cry out and that to him. Number one, why do we pray or have supplication? We pray in that because there is a need in our life. Let's just go ahead and tackle the biggest and first. If I would be honest, most of the time I pray because of a need. I don't find myself all the time just talking to the Lord, just to thank him for the day and say, Lord, it's a beautiful day, it's a pretty day, I'm glad you gave me this day, but you know we ought to do that, amen. And I'll deal with that here in a minute. But when we pray, let me say quickly that friend, when me and you pray, it's more than just praying with our mouth. It is what's coming out of the heart that matters. I thought about Hannah
when she wanted a boy, when she wanted to have a child. And man, that thing had oppressed her and depressed her and compressed her. And her adversary was afflicting her, causing her to fret. She finally gets over there in the house of God, in the tabernacle. And in 1 Samuel chapter 1, it says, it came to pass as she continued praying before the Lord that Eli marked her mouth. Now Hannah, she spake in her heart, only her lips moved and her voice was not heard. Now, Eli thought she was drunk, and we can go back and look at that story, but notice what the Bible said, that she spoke from her heart. You know where God wants to hear from you at today? Out of your heart. He wants to, He already knows. I mean, listen, He already knows what's going on in your life. He already knows the need that you have. But listen, friend, He wants you to just talk to Him out of your heart. And so when it comes to that need, we look at the text verse and he said, let us come boldly under the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in a time of need. What did Hannah do in 1 Samuel 1 when she had that need that was weighing on her? Not only was she worried about not being able to have children, but then her adversary, and that was against her, her husband. I mean, even he didn't understand. He comes over there and says, Hannah, am I not better to you than 10 sons? Not that day he wasn't. All she wanted was that little boy child. And listen, she finally goes to the Lord and tells him all her needs. When is the last time that there was a need that you had? Maybe it was a financial need or a physical need. Maybe it was a health need. What did the Bible say in the book of James? Is there any sick? Is there any among you afflicted? He said, let him pray. Let him pray. When's the last time we prayed over sickness? When's the last time we prayed over our own sickness? We'll pray over somebody else's sickness. When's the last time we got sick? Well, we began to pray. Y'all with me today? I'm telling you, praying should be a big deal in the Christian's life today. Now, God is not some grandfather type sitting up in heaven on a throne handing out suckers. I understand that. But I want you to understand and grasp this morning that He loves us and cares for us, wants to hear from us, and does care about your need today. He cares about your need. I mean, listen, that's why He said that we have that great high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling that have not a great high priest which cannot be touched with the fear and infirmity. Listen, He does know what it's like. Some of y'all will look at your children sometimes and you'll think, I've been there. I've been where they're at. And I've probably been in the same mess. Some even think I've been in the same mess that they're in right now. And what did I need when I was in that mess? He knows our needs. In 2 Chronicles chapter 20, you find when three companies of people was coming against Jehoshaphat and his people, against Judah. And you'll find that he, in 2 Chronicles 20, man, they really began to get serious with the Lord. You know, if you had three different problems coming against you that you wasn't going to be able to defeat, and you wasn't going to be able to win, and couldn't find a way out of it, you'd begin to seek God too. I mean, this wasn't one enemy that was coming up against him. This was three enemies. It came to pass after this also that children of Moab and children of Ammon and with them other besides the Ammonites came against Jehoshaphat to battle. He's just fought one battle, set things in order in chapter 19, and now all of a sudden in chapter 20, all this has happened to him. All this is happening and that to the children of Judah. And the Bible said right here in verse 3, and Jehoshaphat feared, and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. And Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord. Even out of all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. When's the last time you done that? Say, Lord, we need some help right here. Now, I know what I think I need, but you give me what I need because I sure can't accomplish it and make it happen on my own. Say, Lord, I do need some money right here. We need this bill paid. Sometimes bills don't get paid because of our foolishness sometimes. If you don't know how to manage money, then your bills won't get paid. They'll come and repossess things you got if you waste your money or if you overextend yourself in credit. Hello? You need to be in Sunday school. Listen to what Brother Jeff's teaching on wisdom over here. Amen. But notice it said right here that they come and begin to ask the Lord for help. Why did they ask for help? Because there was no way that they were going to be able to defeat the enemy on their own. You know, there's times that things get outside of our realm of possibility that there is no way for us to make it happen. How many of us has ever sat down and tried to work things out in our mind? Make it work this way. Boy, if we could get this to happen, this to happen, this to happen, then maybe we could make it go. Maybe we could get this headed this direction. We get the money to do this. Or if we could get to the best doctor, we could find. There's nothing wrong with doctors. Nobody's there. But if we could just get to the best doctor, another hospital, then they might be able to help. When's the last time you just called out to heaven? I'm not saying don't take them to the hospital. I'm not saying don't look for a better doctor. I'm just saying when's the last time we just cried out to heaven? And here's what he's doing. He's cried out to heaven. Now I want you to look in verse 5. And Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord. You remember where Solomon told them to go? Solomon said, if they'll come over here and pray. And so he begins to pray, and boy, he begins to brag on the Lord down through here, and he comes on down and begins to remind God of some things. And in verse 10 he says, and now behold the children of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir. He said, whom thou wouldest not let Israel invade when they came up out of the land of Egypt, but they turned from them and destroyed them not. Behold, I say, how they reward us to come to cast us out of thy possession, which thou hast given us to inherit. O our God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us. And neither know we what to do. But our eyes are upon thee. He come to him and he told God, he said, we don't know what to do. I mean, look, Lord, look at all this. Look at all the enemy out through there. And Lord, we don't know what to do. You ever been there? I'm being honest this morning. They sort of call back to some of you. Not all of us has probably been there at times in life, but some of you have literally been in a place where you did not know what to do. And you know what you do when you get like that? You get around an altar somewhere and you tell the Lord, Lord, I don't know what to do, but I'm looking to you to give the answer. That may be where you're at today. You back up a few chapters in 2 Chronicles chapter 14, and the Bible said, and Asa cried unto the Lord his God and said, Lord, it is nothing with thee to help, whether with many or with them that have no power. Help us, O Lord our God, for we rest on thee. And in thy name we do go against this multitude, O Lord, for thou art our God. Let no man prevail against thee. So the Lord smote the Ethiopians before Asa and before Judah, and the Ethiopians fled. Asa said, we ain't got nobody else to run to, Lord. We ain't got nobody else to cry out to. You know what? We try everything else and look every other way. And if we just understand, we ain't got nobody else to cry out to. Cry out to the Lord. When's the last time you just cried out to Him? He's there to help, to give us direction, to give us discernment, to give us wisdom and strength, to just help us and meet our needs. He's there today. Peter was in prison in Acts chapter 12 and in verse 5. The Bible said, Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made for him without ceasing of the church. unto God for him. They had a need. The need was to get Peter out of prison. What did they do? They prayed. They began to pray and seek God and ask God to move. And I'd say, God, would you move and get Peter out of prison? You know what God done? Well, he went down there, didn't he? Sent an angel down there, and this is the peace that Peter had. He's probably going to be beheaded in the morning, and that angel had to come by and kick old Peter on the leg and wake him up and say, put your shoes on, Peter, we got to go. How did he get out of prison? You say, well, God would have moved him out of prison. You know, I don't know if God would have or not. I would think that he would, but the Bible makes it known that they were praying for him. A lot of people says, well, God will do what he wants to do, and you know, I've heard people say, well, prayer don't change God. It just changes you. I hope it changes God. Amen. I hope it moves God to move on my behalf. I hope that when he looks down from heaven and I'm praying and fasting and seeking him, that it's more than just for me, but it's to move him also. I hope so. And I believe so. Paul had a need. The messenger of Satan would come to buffet him. And he said, for this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. He asked God, he said, Lord, would you take this away? Would you take this away? Do you know what the Lord told him? He said, my grace is sufficient for thee. What do you think? He said in 1 Peter 5 and 7, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. How do you cast all your care on him? It starts in prayer, don't it? Our supplication is to come before him and give him our needs today and say, Lord, have you ever told him this? I've told him this, Lord, I'm in a mess. I'm in a mess right here and I don't know how to get out of this thing. I really don't know how to get out of this thing. I've made a mess of some things, but if you'll come by and help, I know that it'll be right. I mean, have you ever told him this? And I just like Paul, I don't know if Satan bothers you, but he bothers me. I've told the Lord, Lord, you're going to have to help me with this thing because I need some help right here. I need Satan to get away from me. I need him to quit bothering me. I need you to just come by and strengthen me and undergird me and make it where I can get through another day and go on and serve you. You ever prayed that? I have. Some of y'all have been in far worse shape than I've ever been with needs. Been in far worse shape of situations than I've ever been. But we can come boldly under the throne of grace to find mercy and grace to help in a time of need. A prayer time needs to be one to come and tell him of our needs. A prayer time needs to be one in that of supplication and that of praise. I don't think that, and I find this very hard for me to do, church, to just kneel down and say, Lord, I just want to thank you. But it would do us good to just praise him in our prayer. Lord, I don't want to come to you and ask you for anything. I just want to come to you and tell you thank you. You know what I found as I studied this? I thought, Lord, where am I going to find somebody that thanked the Lord in prayer? And I thought about, you know, Hannah prayed that prayer over in chapter 1 that she could have that boy. She wanted Samuel. But if you go to chapter 2, you know what the Bible said? And Hannah prayed and said, now she's had Samuel, she's got him weaned, she's giving back to the Lord, and she said, my heart rejoiceth in the Lord. You ought to read the first 10 verses and that of 1 Samuel chapter 2, and it's nothing but a prayer of praise unto the Lord. She don't ask for nothing. She don't complain about nothing. She just brags on the Lord. And the Bible said, and Hannah prayed. It was her prayer. Not her song, but her prayer. She prayed unto the Lord. Said, Lord, just want to thank you. When's the last time God ever moved for you and done something for you and accomplished something and done something that was beyond you. And you just drawled up somewhere and said, Lord, I just want to thank you. I want to thank you for answering that prayer. I want to thank you for saving that person. I want to thank you for moving here in this situation. Lord, I want to thank you for the extra money I got on my paycheck. Lord, I just want to thank you for the church tonight. Lord, I want to thank you for what the preacher preached this morning. But help me, Lord. When's the last time that we just, when we prayed, we thanked God for what he done? A prayer of praise. Our supplication should not only be a prayer of need, but it should be a prayer of praise. She went on to say, she said, my horn is exalted in the Lord. My mouth is enlarged over mine enemies because I rejoice in thy salvation. When's the last time we ever thank God for just saving us? It's good to be saved, Lord. There is none holy as the Lord. For there is none besides thee, neither is there any rock like our God. Talk no more exceeding proudly. Let not arrogancy come out of your mouth. For the Lord is God of knowledge, and by him actions are weighed. And boy, she goes on down through and she just talks about, boy, how great he is. And all this in prayer. A time of supplication just to pray and thank him for what he's done. You ever just got in the car and be head down the road and maybe driving to work? Maybe head somewhere on a long trip and you're by yourself. It's hard to pray sometimes when other folk are in the car. Somebody's got kids hollering, screaming. You know, that's what kids do. Kids be kids. But you know, when you get in there by yourself and sometimes you're alone and you get by yourself at the house and turn TV off, turn radio off in the car and boy, just begin to talk to him. Say, Lord, I just want to thank you for the day. It's a good day. It's a pretty day. You know what the Lord done? I don't know what he done for you at your house this morning, but you know what he done out at our house? When I come downstairs this morning and opened the shades up downstairs, man, the sun was coming up and it was bright as bright could be, and I done a double take and it was raining with the sun shining. I said, Lord, you give us a sunshiny day with rain on top of it. It was getting dry at our house. I don't know about your house, but we needed some rain. And the Lord sent us some rain. Now, according to old wives' tales, it'll rain that time tomorrow, too, because the sun was shining. Y'all will catch on to that after a while. When's the last time that we thanked him just for the simplest things? Do you realize that where you live at right now, that you live in the greatest part of the world? That we can walk over to our faucet in our house and turn on the spigot and put a cup under it and draw out fresh water and drink it. Not everybody can do that. Then I look across this house today, I don't see none of us starving to death. Every one of us are dressed well, and we all got here on four tires and wheels in a car this morning. We didn't even walk here. In our condition and on top of it. Man, ain't we ruined? Or as it ought to be said, ain't we burnt? I mean, we're just burnt, man. When's the last time any of us, as one fellow said here the other day, I was listening to you, when's the last time we had to pray in the beans and the corn? I'm being honest this morning. When's the last time that we've ever wondered whether God was going to move or whether he was going to come by or what? I mean, I'm talking about something that we really needed. When's the last time that we prayed in the beans and the corn, had the beans and the corn come in, and then we failed to praise him on top of it? God help us. Oh, when we pray, we got so much to thank him. Mm. just not any salvation, but any salvation, friend. I mean, that's worth praising for the rest of our life, to know that we're saved, forgiven of our sins, going to heaven, that when we die, we don't have to cross the Jordan alone. But on top of that, He's our friend while we're here, and He wants to take care of us. And He's there to intercede for us, to go between, so that our prayers might get answered. You know, that's what He done when we were lost. He interceded for us. He was our go-between that we could get saved. He's still our go-between now, that when we pray to the Heavenly Father, that He hears us and that He answers us. But let me say this about our prayers, I close. And why do we pray? We not only pray because we have needs, and we not only pray to praise Him, but then to intercede for others. You know, the Apostle Paul told the church at Ephesus, he says, "Cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers." Paul said, "I pray for you all the time, church." And I'll be like the Apostle Paul right here. I try to pray for you all the time. If I have a little time through the week, sometimes I just make time. Sometimes I've got a little time. I'll just come and gather up around this altar and pray. Sometimes I come in here and I stand at each pew where you're set. Don't move. You're going to miss your prayer now. I'll stand at each pew and I'll pray for you sitting on that pew. I'm not saying that my prayers is better than anybody else. I just want you to understand that your preacher tries his best to pray for you. I fail at it sometimes, but you know what? You know what Samuel told Israel over there? He said, "Gather all Israel to Mizpah," and he said, "And I'll pray for you unto the Lord." Samuel said, "I'll pray for you." But then the Apostle Paul told him in the book of Colossians chapter 4, "With all praying also for us." Paul said, "I want you to pray for me." He said, "I want you to intercede for me." You know, I think you find it at least one time, if not more than once, he said, "Brethren, pray for us." He went on to say right here that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds. He said, "Look, I need you to intercede on my behalf to God." You know, there's people out there that need us to pray for them. You know why? I try to make a big deal of this on Wednesday night when we come in and begin to make prayer requests. There is people that literally need us to pray for them. They need us to do that. Because you know how I know that? Because there has been times in my life that I've needed people to pray for me. There's people, literally, you know, when I was a younger Christian, I didn't take a lot of that stuff serious. Stay with me now. I'm fixing clothes. Stay with me. I know what time it is. I didn't take a lot of that stuff serious like I should have, and shame on me. But there's people out there that's got needs. Man, they need us to pray. You need to intercede on behalf of them because of their lost condition, that they might get saved. Pray to God that, Lord, you just continue to convict them and help them see their need. But listen, then there's others that, man, they're saved and they just need God's help in their life and in their family. As I close, I want you to think about this. When's the last time that we ever interceded on behalf of our nation and our country? Daniel in Daniel chapter 9 interceded for Israel when they were down in the land of Babylon. In Genesis chapter 18, Abraham interceded for Sodom and Gomorrah. You remember that? You remember he started with 50? He said, "Lord, if you find 50 righteous people over there, would you spare Sodom and Gomorrah?" And the Lord said, "Yes, I will." And he worked himself all the way down to 10. And God said, "If I find 10 righteous people, Abraham, I'll spare it." You know why God was going to spare it? On behalf of Abraham. You know why God spared me and you? on behalf of Jesus Christ. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. He spared me and you because of Christ, because He was our intercessor. I hope you know Him this morning. Our prayer time, supplication, the greatest arsenal that me and you have, one of them is prayer and supplication. Let's bow our heads this morning.